Mudslinging between the DUP and Sinn Féin as to who is to blame for the collapse of the Stormont talks. Arlene Foster said Sinn Féin was not in agreement-finding mode, while Michelle O'Neill has accused the DUP of not having the right attitude. And then the Secretary of State, James Brokenshire, yesterday warned there will now be a short window of opportunity to strike a deal over issues like the Irish language and the legacy of the Troubles. If they don't, he faces a tough decision over direct rule or another election. Let's hear what he had to say yesterday.
Well, I don't think there is any appetite for any further immediate snap election. The public have only recently gone to the polls and delivered what I think is a very clear message in seeing and wanting to see devolved government back on its feet again. And therefore, we are focused on how we support the political parties to reach that agreement. But equally, the UK government feels its responsibilities very keenly in terms of providing political stability here in Northern Ireland. Ultimately, this is about agreement between the main political parties here in Northern Ireland, forming that understanding, forming that connection with each other to be able to see strong, inclusive, stable government here in Northern Ireland. That is what I think is laid at the heart of the talks that have gone on, the discussions between the parties themselves. As I've indicated, we have been actively supporting them and playing a very important part in providing those ideas and proposals to help them bridge their gaps. We are not there yet, but we're determined to see that devolved government is restored here at the earliest opportunity.
Right, so let's get what you think of Mr. Brokenshire this morning on the phones, 0330 80 55 55. I've been speaking this morning, just within the last few minutes actually, to Sinn Féin's Conor Murphy, and I asked him if this all means we are going to have direct rule now.
Well, the legislation doesn't allow for direct rule, so the course of action now is to move towards an election. We're still prepared to talk with other parties. Michelle O'Neill spoke to all of the party leaders yesterday, and I think there's an opportunity to continue dialogue in the days and weeks ahead.
What do you mean what do you mean you're still prepared to talk? I thought Michelle O'Neill said on Sunday the talks had run its course.
Well, the talks deadline was on Monday yesterday, so that phase of the talks had run its course. That's correct. But if other parties are willing to try and crunch on these issues in the next period, we are certainly up for doing that. That has been our approach to the talks right through the whole period.
Well, surely that makes a farce of Sunday, when Michelle O'Neill said the talks have run their course. What? So one phase of the talks have run their course, have they?
Well, we were in a process of talks in which the deadline was Monday at 4 o'clock. It was very clear to us on Sunday that no agreement was possible. And we said that rather than hanging around Sunday night and getting into Monday morning, and that there was not going to be an agreement in relation to the outstanding issues which need to be implemented. And so we said that. Now, if people wish to pick that, so we missed the deadline yesterday. The ministers and the speaker weren't nominated. And so if people wish to get into a process of dialogue, and we certainly do wish to do that, and that's why Michelle O'Neill was in contact with the party leaders yesterday, then we're prepared to do that, and we're prepared to try and crunch on these issues. We have no desire to see an election. That's where the legislation takes us. And if that's what has to happen, that's what has to happen. But we would like to see these issues resolved and an executive put back in place.
So that was just about optics yesterday then, wasn't it? It was just about Michelle O'Neill and Gerry Adams trying to seem powerful. The talks have run their course. When actually you were prepared to keep talking. Talks haven't run their course.
It's not a game, Stephen. The talks deadline was yesterday at 4 o'clock. That's when, according to legislation, the nominations had to be made for First and Deputy First Minister and the Speaker, and that wasn't clearly going to happen because the outstanding issues weren't agreed. So that had run its course.
Were Sinn Féin talking yesterday, Conor, on Monday?
Michelle O'Neill spoke to the party leaders yesterday, and we met with some...
No, were there talks? Were there real talks yesterday?
Well, we met with both governments, and we met with some of the party leaders. Michelle spoke to all the party leaders.
So the talks continued. They hadn't run their course, they continued.
Well, if you allow me to finish, what we were doing was ascertaining if there was a will to continue talking. Sinn Féin have approached this with a point of view to try and get these issues resolved. We want to see the executive back in place. We're in the firm view that these issues will be resolved at some stage. These are rights issues, and a little bit like the debate over policing and justice transfer, in a number of years' time, people will look back and say, what was the fuss about? So we want to get these issues resolved. We want to get the rights-based issues resolved, the outstanding issues of agreement that have yet to be implemented resolved, and get the executive back in place. Yesterday, we were touching base with the other parties in both governments to see if there was a willingness to try and do something like that. I think there is a willingness among the parties to begin to talk again, and let's explore that and hopefully get a resolution.
Your party keeps saying that all you want is, you don't want a new agreement, you want previous agreements are honoured.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
What we mean are the agreements that we had previously had in terms of a legacy, in terms of Act na Gaeilge, in terms of equality issues, that we want those Bill of Rights. All these things were agreed, some of them as far back as the Good Friday Agreement in 1998. They have yet to be delivered on. And what we're saying very clearly is we cannot make agreements, set up power sharing arrangements, and then find that people just decide not to go ahead with those agreements.
But if I'm reading this right, when I hear senior members of your party saying all you want is previous agreements honoured, you don't want a whole new list of demands. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's accurate. We want to see the equality issues that were part of the Good Friday Agreement reflected in the actions of the executive. We want to see a Bill of Rights. We want to see Act na Gaeilge. We want to see the British government, who failed to deliver at all in terms of the legacy issues that they agreed to in Stormont House. Then we want to see those issues enacted, and we want to see a programme for government and a budget put in place and the executive up and running.
But again, it's not true. The reality is different from Sinn Féin's words, isn't it?
How is that?
Well, because Brexit was never in a previous agreement. So that's another new thing that you've thrown in. Same-sex marriage was never in a previous agreement. That's another thing you've thrown in. The DUP's, the Irish Language Act that you're insisting on, the DUP never signed up to that. It was the British government. That's another new thing you're throwing in.
Well, let me take them in turn. Firstly, Brexit is the backdrop to which all of the discussions are happening, and we haven't sought to have other parties agree to our position on Brexit. We've sought to get a common position on Brexit, and some useful work was done on that over the course of the last 3 weeks.
So there's nothing around Brexit that's a red line?
No, what we want to do is get a common position for the executive, and that's what we've been trying to do, any incoming executive, so we can actually deal with the car crash that is coming our way in terms of Brexit.
But we can park Brexit, because that's not a red line.
No, that's what I said. We try to get a common position in relation to that. In relation to marriage equality, is, if you like, a reflection of the equality issues which the DUP, in a minority, have used their position in the Assembly to thwart the will of the majority in the Assembly in relation to equality. They've done the same in relation to an anti-poverty strategy, ethnic minority strategies. And what we're saying to them is, if there is a reflection that the executive is going to operate on the basis of equality, then marriage equality is a key issue for society that has been identified to all of us, all of the parties, and we need to try and get that resolved.
It may be a key issue to you, and there may be some validity in what you're saying, but it's simply untrue for Sinn Féin to say all you're wanting to do is have previous agreements honoured and no more, because same-sex marriage had not been agreed. So it's not true what you're saying.
What I'm saying is the Good Friday Agreement is underpinned by equality. There are a range of equality issues that have been thwarted by the DUP from a minority position within the Assembly. They've used the vice in the Assembly, the petition of concern, which they say they're happy to do away with. Now, if they're happy to do away with it, then don't use it. Let's get on with delivering equality issues, and don't use that device to try and block equality issues. That's what we're simply saying. These are issues that have been ongoing since the last number of years, trying to deliver on a range of equality issues. And also in relation to the Irish Language Act, I mean, I was on your programme when you had an argument with Edwin Poots around this. The Irish Language Act was contained within St Andrews Agreement. It was to be delivered, and that's simply what we're asking to happen.
The front page of the newsletter today has the following headline: Sinn Féin holding us all to ransom. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I'm not surprised. The newsletter is a unionist paper. The Belfast Telegraph has had similar headlines to try and blame Sinn Féin for the collapse of the talks process on Sunday. The reality is we have sought to have outstanding issues which were previously agreed, delivered. We weren't able to do that. That's a matter of regret. It's our firm intention to do this. We believe it will be done at some stage, and it's our firm intention to get it done as quickly as possible.
70% of first preference votes in the election did not go to Sinn Féin. Your party uses the word arrogance quite a lot about the DUP. How arrogant is it of Sinn Féin to suddenly think that you can rule the roost and dictate to other people what their policies should be Well, 70% of people in this country didn't vote for you.
Well, firstly, these aren't unique Sinn Féin positions. The positions in relation to Irish Language Act, the position in relation to marriage equality, has the support of the majority of MLAs that have been elected to the Assembly. We're not asking parties to change their policy. We're simply asking to find ways of getting these things done. And so the arguments that we're making in terms of rights, equality, Irish language, aren't Sinn Féin arguments. They are arguments that have been placed on the table by people campaigning for these issues. And a majority view within society, a majority view within the MLAs in the Assembly chamber support these issues. So this isn't simply a Sinn Féin agenda. This is an agenda to try and get things implemented which have been agreed, get equality back at the heart of the power sharing arrangements, and try and deliver for broad sections of our society.
There is a growing suspicion among some commentators that actually Sinn Féin don't want a deal here. You're happy for direct rule for a while.
Well, actually, I talked to commentators quite a bit and spent a lot of yesterday chatting to people in the media in Stormont, and I didn't get that view from any of them. The reality is that the DUP know this, both governments know this, and the other parties that we spoke to over the course of the talks know this. We want the institutions to work. That's been our primary focus. We had a full talks team out there for the 3 weeks at a time that was very difficult for us as a party. We had a full talks team up there trying to negotiate these issues and trying to get them resolved.
And where, Conor, did that full talks team give ground to others? Where did you present compromise during those talks?
Let me say first, the issues that we are seeking to have implemented were the basis of agreements. We're on the basis of agreements which were made before, which involved compromise. Now, to suggest then that we need to, these things are agreed, we compromise to get them agreed, then they're not implemented, so we should compromise further to have them implemented. I mean, that's not a logical argument we present our constituency, but we were prepared to meet people and talk through issues and see where we could find...
So can you give me one example of where you compromised during the talks, the 3 weeks of talks?
Well, perhaps we're still in the middle of a negotiation, so I'm not going to get into the detail of the give and take.
So you are still in the middle of negotiations. Talks haven't run their course. You're now in the middle of negotiations.
No, if you listen to me, Stephen, I said perhaps we may still be in the middle of negotiations.
Well, let's clarify the word perhaps. Are you in the middle of negotiations or not?
Well, I don't know. That we'll ascertain that over the next day or two.
Are you not one of the chief negotiators on that team?
We are waiting responses from other parties.
But are you not one of the chief negotiators on that big team?
Yes, I am.
And you don't know whether you're in negotiations or not?
Well, if you're listening to what I'm saying, I've said we spoke to the other parties yesterday and to the two governments to ascertain whether there's a mood to continue dialogue. We're up for doing that. So let me get back to the point you originally made.
Clarify the word perhaps for me. Are you in negotiations or not?
Sorry?
Clarify the word perhaps for me. Are you? This is too important to people. Some people are losing their jobs over this in community groups. No, are you in negotiations or not?
That is not true. The budget will be approved and carried forward. So the reality
Carried forward for how long?
It goes up to next March. The budget can be carried forward to next
March. Can be. Not will be. And it's 75% of the budget, by the way.
No, it's not, Stephen. You need to go and check your facts. It's carried right through until next March. The authority goes to the senior civil servant in the Department of Finance to carry through on the budget on the basis of pressures that need to be met and any sense or of direction that had been agreed previously between the parties. So in relation to the negotiations, what I said to you on a number of occasions was Michelle O'Neill spoke to all of the party leaders yesterday and we spoke to both governments. We're trying to ascertain whether there's a mood to continue the discussions. We're up for doing that. We hope that proves to be the case, and if that is to be the case, we're certainly ready and willing to get into dialogue.
As we stand at the moment, are you in the middle of negotiations or not?
Well, let me go over it again.
You said perhaps.
We spoke yesterday to party leaders to try and ascertain whether people were up for doing that. If we get the sense...
And what was the response?
If we get the sense, I believe that they are. And we will test that today or tomorrow. And we will see if people want to get back to a process of dialogue. We're certainly willing to do that. And we will put a team together and go to Stormont and do that.
OK. Conor Murphy, thank you very much indeed.